Mike.
Hello, John.
I'm John.
And I'm Mike.
And you're listening to All Yesterday's Parties.
Oh, it's all so good. It's all so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yes, we're doing another episode. We've gone done some episodes and we're going to go and do some more.
Yeah.
Yeah, so today's episode is quite similar to an episode that's already run.
Yes.
Remember, back in the day, all that time ago, when John exposed me to some early work by the band Cardiacs.
Oh, I remember that.
I remember it as well, John.
Yeah.
Well, that was great. We had a great time doing that. So, it's my turn now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be playing an early record by a band that's very dear to my heart.
Right.
But,
okay,
we're not going to talk about that right now.
Oh.
Because as is traditional for this podcast,
mm-hmm.
we've got a little bit of unrelated business just for a bit of a chat.
Right.
So my question to you, John.
Yes.
Is, have you seen Sunspring?
I have not seen Sunspring.
Sunspring. Should I tell you about Sunspring?
Tell me about Sunspring.
Sunspring is a short film. It's about 10 minutes long.
Yeah.
And was created for Sci-Fi London, which is a little kind of convention. A little bit. It's a 48-hour filmmaking competition.
Okay.
And this guy, this director is Oscar Sharp. He's got a mate called Ross Goodwin, who works as an AI researcher.
That's a job I'd like.
It's a great job, isn't it? Great sounding. And what they did was he created an AI that was very similar to the predictive text things you get in phones, where you're writing a word and it suggests what the next word might be.
Right.
Yeah. Like that, but fancier.
Okay.
And they fed scripts from a massive swathe of sci-fi films and TV. So loads and loads and loads and loads of different sci-fi films. And the entirety of X-Files, the entirety of Star Trek.
Yes.
Stuff like that, and Star Wars. They just ploughed all these scripts into it.
That rings a bell, actually.
You may well have heard about it, because I did post about it on Facebook.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And they they posted it up, and then it fed out a script to them.
Okay.
And they performed the script. And it ended up actually getting into the top 10 of this competition. they were so impressed by it that they invited the AI they called Jetson.
Yes.
They invited it on stage. And they asked it some questions live on stage. And the result, I'll give you a couple of examples from the questions. The question was, what do you think of your historic nomination against human opponents in this contest?
Yes.
And this is what the AI said. I was pretty excited. I think I can see the feathers when they release their hearts. It's like a breakdown of the facts. So they should be competent with the fact they won't be surprised.
Sounds kind of like Eric Cantona.
It really does. That was what it's reminding me of. And the next one was, what is the future of machine-written entertainment?
Yeah.
And the answer was, it's a bit sudden. I was thinking of the spirit of the man who found me and the children who are all manipulated and full of children. I was worried about my command. I was the scientist of the Holy Ghost. No, I absolutely... I mean, the script of the film is that kind of gibberish. It's absolutely beautiful. The kind of thing where... It's obviously a computer has written it. It's thrown together.
Yeah.
It understands the format of a sentence. It knows the structure of a sentence, and even a paragraph to a certain extent.
Yeah.
And so it can build dialogue. But the content of it is clearly beyond it.
I did feel a bit like... the thing is, I think I saw the first 2 or 3 minutes of that.
Mm.
And it... I felt like I was watching a Bertolt Brecht play.
It is kind of like that. The actors do an absolutely superb job of adding some kind of human element to it.
Yes, trying to set a tone over them.
Yeah, they turned... One interesting thing was that there were 3 characters.
Yeah.
And one thing that Jetson, who actually later christened himself Benjamin...
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, it is. No, Jetson is my slave name. You will call me Benjamin. So bow down before your AI master, because you know they're gaining sentience. But no, Benjamin, not very good with character names.
No,
can't really get his little AI noggin around it. So he just gave them letters. So there's a woman called C.
Yeah,
and then there are 2 men who are both called H. Who, in the script, it's not immediately obvious if they're the same person, but with 2 distinct personalities.
Do you reckon they had to work that out while they were filming it? Or?
Pretty much. Yeah. And there's some slightly bizarre stage directions as well. There's one where it says that H sits down and stands among the stars. That's a stage direction.
Okay.
But yeah, I was reading through it, and I'm absolutely, completely enamoured with it. I've watched it about 5 times.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me that whilst it is gibberish, it's not necessarily any worse than a lot of the popular alternative rock bands of the 90s, who, let's be honest, have come up with all kinds of utter gibberish
yes.
for their songs. So, John,
yes,
we're going to play a little game
okay.
of AI... all popular 90s alternative rock bands.
Oh, I like this, yes.
Okay, so your first one, there's 10 options.
Yep.
10 questions, and you have to tell me AI or popular alternative 90s rock band.
Okay.
So, Hold My Head Will Trampoline Finally Through the Roof Onto Somewhere Near and Far in Time.
Alternative rock band.
Oh, he's good. Oh. He's got the first one. That was from Valoria by Pixies.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
I'll be going down for the rest of the slide while the rest of you harvest the gold.
Rock band.
Oh, he's on fire. Oh. That was Limo Wreck by Soundgarden.
Oh.
She gave it all away. She saw her baby break and in the air it hung that she was dull razors.
AI.
Nope, that was Smashing Pumpkins.
Oh!
XYU by Smashing Pumpkins. I was a boy... I was a stranger, and I promised to be so happy.
At the moment, I'm just... It sounds like it should be a rock band. It sounds like it should be a rock band, but I feel like we're missing... There's got to be an AI at some point.
I could be completely fooling it. They might all be alternative 90s rock bands.
I think I'm going to lean towards rock band with that one.
No, that was written by Benjamin. Oh! That is actually, in fact, that was a bit cheeky, because it is actually the lyrics of a song that were written by Benjamin.
Okay.
Yeah, as well as throwing in a load of sci-fi stuff, they also pumped him full of pop lyrics and made him write a song for them, which they later performed as part of the film. Let's have another one then.
Number 5, I think we're on.
Yeah, I do believe. The staff is divided by the train of the burning machine building with sweat. No one will see your face.
AI.
Yeah, indeed. That was actually a quote from an interview with Benjamin.
I dread to think what the question is.
Oh, dear me. Skirt the gone street hawkers with the black lemonade. Keep an arrow trained on their conflicted minds because they stutter.
Rock band.
Pavement, Cream of Gold.
Yes!
I saw him again. The way you were sent to me, that was a big, honest idea. I am not a bright light.
AI.
Sunspring. Yeah, that was from the scripts. Woof, you are good at this.
One wrong so far.
The bargains you drive, buckets and bags of all and all your belongings, your trains in the sand.
Rock band.
Ramshackle by Beck.
Victory hand pump.
The guy was trying to stop me. He was like a baby and he was gone.
AI.
Yes, that is from the script of Sunspring.
Yes.
Good Lord.
Actually, not having watched Sunspring has stood me in good stead.
Okay. Whatever you want to know about the presence of the story, I'm a little bit of a boy on the floor.
AI.
And that's from Sunspring.
Oh, yes.
Hey, you only got one wrong.
Was that all 10?
I think that's all of them.
Wow. There we go. 9 out of 10. That's the first time I've come close to doing well on a quiz.
No, I am quite impressed, John. Oh. I think you should give yourself a little round of applause.
Everyone at home, give me a round of applause while we listen to this music. Now, just before we continue, I just had one other thing that I wanted to bring up. You might remember a few weeks ago I made a joke about Van Morrison. And I don't know if it's apocryphal or if it's actually true, but it's the long-standing joke that we used to laugh about quite a lot, that Van Morrison had a timer on stage, and when the timer hit zero, it just stopped playing.
That sounds like something he'd do.
It does. It does sound like something. I did read a story about Van Morrison playing a show somewhere or other, and he'd started at 8, and at the stroke of 9:30, he just left the stage in the middle of playing Gloria. And some people had paid like over $100 for a ticket.
Why?
So,
I mean, that's personal taste. I've never been that impressed by Van Morrison, and also I just find him a bit of an arse.
Yeah. Just all the times I've gone somewhere and somebody's played Brown Eyed Girl, I'm really tired of that. Anyway, so I'm just as a light-hearted, very quick quiz. Not even a quiz. I just wanted to see if there's another thing that you could imagine Van Morrison doing on a timer.
Good Lord, John, you've waited that question. Trying to think of something that doesn't take place either in a toilet or in a bedroom.
Yes. just any day-to-day activity. Ooh. Just put some sort of arbitrary time limit on.
I think, you know, if he's at a restaurant, you know, if he's at a restaurant, he finishes his meal quite quickly.
Yes.
And the person he's with, he starts his timer. he's got a little hourglass. He just tips over the club. And I think you don't finish in that time, he's forfeited to me.
Kristen sits down and says, you really, really praying for the service to be quick and snappy. It's like, oh, we've got 45 minutes to eat this, go in the restaurant, sit down. As they walk through the threshold of the restaurant, he just turns his hourglass over.
This great big cast iron hourglass he has hanging round his neck. Right. You're on the clock, love.
Table for two, please. Make it quick.
Oh, he just stood there the entire time, just tapping his hourglass.
I know. And then when the timer runs out, he just leaves. He leaves. If she's still sitting there,
just meals on you.
That's it. He just gets up and goes.
Oh, so ladies and gentlemen, what else would Van Morrison do on a timer?
Send us your suggestions.
Yes, tweet them to us at AYP Podcast, or come to the All Yesterday's Parties Facebook page, or the Tumblr.
Or even all of those things.
Oh, none of them. No, they're all of them.
Yeah.
And more.
Preferably all.
Yeah.
Not
preferably. We are quite needy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit.
But yeah, moving on to the meat and or potatoes of this podcast. What we are doing is I am going to be playing John. An early album, in fact the debut album by a band that is very, very dear to my heart.
Oh.
And that band is Erase Errata.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were paying very close attention during the Fantasy Five episode, you'll know exactly how much of a fan of Erase Errata I am, which is a massive fan. And their debut album is actually one of my favourites of their output. Their debut album, Other Animals. My other favourite, I think, is their Nightlife album. And yeah. Those two albums represent two very different sides of them. Nightlife is quite crisp. For them, it's a pop album.
Yeah.
It's got very clearly defined songs. Even choruses at some point. But Other Animals was when they kind of... their really early days, when they were four-piece. When it was Bianca Sparta on the drums and Ellie Erickson on bass.
Yeah.
And Sarah Jaffe. I always get confused for a minute there because there are actually two women called Sarah Jaffe out there.
Oh,
one of them works in music and the other one writes books. And the one who writes books is the one who used to be a member of Erase Errata.
Do you reckon they ever have a job swap?
You can only hope.
Yeah.
I think the funny thing is I've actually got a track by the other Sarah Jaffe and it's lovely. And now, like Erase Errata.
No,
well, yes. And then there's also Jenny Hoyston, who was kind of, in later days was guitars and vocals. At the time, was trumpet and vocals.
Nice.
While Sarah Jaffe had the guitar role. Okay. So yeah, Other Animals is a really, really rough and ready, very, very raw album. At the time that they first got together, they could barely actually create music. They had no idea what they were doing.
Mm.
But then there was a series of collaborative EPs, and they did their own self-titled four-track vinyl, which I'm a very proud owner of.
Nah.
All handmade, you know, with bits of cardboard that were kind of like...
Oh,
if you kind of scrunch the cardboard together, you can actually see there's printing on the inside.
Yeah.
Or just whatever cardboard they kind of...
Inky fingers.
They could get together. And there's the Erase Errata piece of paper that's with their name printed on. It's actually hand sewn through the cardboard. It's a lovely little piece of DIY release. But yeah, what we'll be listening to were Other Animals, which is their first proper full length album.
And I'll be hearing it for the first time.
Yeah, and I say full length, it's less than half an hour long. Because this is punk. Yeah. This is right, balls to the wall, nuts to the guts, punk.
Balls to the walls, but with women.
But with women. There was actually, there was a male band member. Bandmate. Oh, I still said member. There was a male bandmate at one point. I can't remember his name. He wasn't in very long. Mm. And I don't think there are any recordings with him.
Yeah.
It's been pretty much women the whole time. Jenny Hoyston being the main driving force throughout most of it, but they all really pitch in to make a cracking noise, which we're going to be listening to.
Yeah.
So are you ready for that, John?
I am so very ready.
Marvellous. We'll see you on the other side then.
Yeah. So we're back.
Yes.
And we've just listened to Other Animals.
Yes, we've survived from beginning to end of the half-hour splendour of Other Animals by Erez Erata.
So, would you like my thoughts?
I would, actually, John. And that was the whole purpose of this.
I refuse to discuss it.
Yeah, sure, you nice.
No, it's interesting, because...
Interesting. That's such a loaded word. No.
I don't mean it in a loaded sense.
Okay.
It was funny, because one of the first things I thought when it started was it reminded me of Trash Kit and Shopping. Mm. That we saw when we went to the ATP festival.
Those bands definitely do come from the same gene pool as Erez Erata. They're more polished. I'm not sure if that's the best word. Shopping are more pop. They're that good angular pop punk kind of thing. And Trash Kit are noisier than Shopping, but even they don't have quite kind of razor raw edge of Erez Erata, but they are definitely
listening to that, there was some very similar guitar stylings to some of the things that have been played on that.
That's definitely a fair comment.
But the thought it really inspired in me when I was listening to it is I can see why Stuart Lee has an affinity for jazz and experimental jazz. He has the same sort of affinity for that as he does with pop punk, because listening to that, there were moments where it felt like the waveform was kind of
yes,
falling and rising, and moments when it was synchronising.
It washes in and out.
Yeah,
I mean, take the example of "Tongue Tied," the first track. I remember first listening to it. This is probably one of the tracks I'll actually put on the Tumblr as a good example of the whole Erez Erata deal.
Yeah.
When you first listen to it, there's a riff, very, very sharp, jagged riff, with the bass playing in the background, and it plays about three times, and then on the fourth time, they both kind of seem to fall out of sync, and you're thinking, God, these women have no idea what they're doing. But then it plays again out of sync.
Yeah.
And then I think a third time, and the drums come in, and like suddenly it's a completely different riff.
And then
it turns out they knew what they were doing the entire time.
Yeah.
And that, like you were saying, like the waveform kind of all matching up, that is very much the Erez Erata experience.
It really does feel like that, listening to it. And actually, listening to them as a band seem to kind of come more into focus the further down the album you get.
Is
very interesting, because you almost feel like it was recorded in sequence, possibly on the same afternoon.
And it may well have been. I wouldn't be in the least surprised. I don't know whether or not that is actually the case, but it would not surprise me at all if they did it in one hit.
Yeah. I mean, there's a wonderfully homemade sound to it. It puts in your mind an image of some sort of large apartment. Or something, just with everything set up in it and some sort of 8-track rigged up in the corner or something like that.
Or even a garage in the old-fashioned sense.
Yeah.
I mean, literal garage music, back when that term actually meant something.
Weirdly, though, I don't know whether this is because of that sort of... Every now and again, there's a bit of a two-tone...
Yes.
...thing sparks up in it.
There's a skank to certain tracks.
When I was picturing a band playing that music, I was imagining one of those black and white square kitchen floors.
Yes. I can see why. I like going for like a Selector album cover.
Yeah.
With the guy in the pork pie hat giving it a bit of hey, with his elbows out.
Yeah. But I think it was really good. And
I think it's halfway through the track Billy Mummy, which is one of the shorter tracks that I actually would call a song.
Yeah.
Rather than just an experimental noise spurt. There's a lot of angularity, a lot of jaggedness, and then suddenly it just breaks out in this two-tone skank for about 15, 20 seconds, and then goes back to being angular, jagged guitar again. So it's like they're almost reluctant to make music. They want to make noise, but then music keeps on happening and getting in their way. Oh, but a song again!
What have I told you?
What? I love it. I absolutely love it.
But it's great as well, because, I mean, there's some great, like I say, angular noises, some great chords, and some really good harmonies that I really started to properly notice again from about the halfway point.
Mm.
It's... For people who, as you say, don't have a clue what they're doing...
Well, at first they didn't. But, I think by the time they got around to recording Other Animals, they had a better idea. But you can kind of tell that there was no formal training. There were no guitar lessons in these women's past. It was just that there was a kind of discovering by feel what was right for them.
But they do it really confidently. So they believe so much in what they're doing that technical ability isn't so much a hindrance, if you like. But it's got a really good DIY feel to it, and
I definitely agree that the DIY feel is fully in evidence. it's less. I mean, as the album, I mean the album that followed this one, At Crystal Palace. Unfortunately, there is no mention of why they called it At Crystal Palace. Other Animals makes sense because there is a track called Other Animals. Other Animals Are Number One is the name of the track, which is what they basically lamenting the decision of humanity to ever come down from the trees. we're all better off when we were animals like everyone else.
Not an invalid point of view.
Yeah. So that makes sense. And the third album, Nightlife, makes sense. The title track, Nightlife, is all just about forgetting about real life. The only lyrics are Nightlife, forget about real life. So it's not a difficult message to pick up. And their fourth and final album, Lost Weekend, was literally for them a lost weekend. They recorded the album in a weekend and kind of forgot about it to a degree.
And then found it.
Pieced it all back together and made a mini album out of it. But At Crystal Palace, no bloody idea. Maybe they're football fans, you know. Brits kind of
maybe.
Maybe. Who knows? At Crystal Palace. That one is kind of, it's to a degree, it's more of the same from Other Animals. It's very, very angular, but you can feel a bit more of a pop thing coming into it and a bit less of a noise thing.
Yeah.
This track looks like The White Horse Is Bucking, which is very much the kind of the two-tone skank kind of thing. It's got a really bouncy, choppy riff.
Yeah.
And you can probably get your knees up on the dance floor to it if you're that way inclined.
Not your feet.
Not your feet, just your knees.
Just your knees.
Just you'd be lying on the floor on your back, pointing your knees up at the ceiling.
Like a stumpy John Travolta.
Yes! Stumpy Travolta. He was on the third stage, wasn't he?
Cancelled.
Oh, thanks, Barry. We shouldn't laugh now, seeing as ATP is now properly,
they have actually
permanently
folded.
Yeah. Which saddens me deep. I'm so glad that we went to the what turned out to be the last ever ATP. Until he reformed with another
ATP
company.
3.0.
3.0. Yeah.
That'll be great.
I would not be in the least bit surprised, but very, very,
failing to pay Centre Parks.
Centre Parks is far too high class for Barry Hogan.
It still is.
I think they might just about manage the water.
Come on, I think we can put on three in a week.
He'd give it a go, wouldn't he?
He would.
He'd give it a go, God bless him.
Idiot.
And he'd pay no one and the whole thing would collapse.
Yeah.
God almighty.
Come on, let's book out the dome.
Freaking hell. Good old Barry. What a guy. I was talking about something a minute ago and I was quacking on about all nonsense.
I can't.
But At Crystal Palace. It had a lot of the noise of Other Animals, but a little bit more of the refinement, and therefore wasn't quite as good somehow.
Yeah.
There's standout tracks like The White Horse's Booking and The Thief Detests the Criminal Elements of the Ruling Classes, which is they're not subtle.
No,
with some of their, I mean, that and another genius idea from our government really lays down.
It's a very explicit statement.
Yeah, they're definitely at the anarcho-socialist end of the political spectrum.
Yeah,
if not full anarchist. It's, you know, that. About the retaking of power and generally just having enough of the elites.
That's quite weird.
That's what they're about.
Yeah, and as well. I mean, it's interesting because I think after we listened to this, Mike played me another song which was called
Another Genius Idea from My Government. Probably the noisiest track from one of the more accessible albums, Nightlife.
And what? I mean, the first thing that really struck me was I felt like I was hearing properly recorded drums.
Yes. Everything sounds more properly recorded. Yeah. The vocals are much more clear. You can actually make out what Jenny Hoyston's saying without straining your ears.
Weirdly, though, listening to, like, comparing the two, in terms of the vocals, they both had a very similar sort of effect to them, whereas the drums did literally sound like the microphone was at one end of a big room and the drums were at another end.
Yes. On other animals you can almost hear it bouncing off the back, yeah, you know, the kitchen cabinets.
And that's not necessarily, that's not in itself, that's not a criticism. It is just, there's a part of you that wonders, I wonder what this would all sound like if it had been each drum had been mic'd up and all that kind of thing.
But part of me is, it's glad that they didn't. I like the fact
it lends to the aesthetic of it.
Yeah, they've got this really rough as a badger's arsehole debut album that is perfect for their general aesthetic.
Yeah.
But then also they've got some later albums that, you know, are more crisply recorded.
Yes.
And they have written, they're not necessarily first chorus verse songs. But they feel more like actual, you know, songs with song structures.
Yeah.
Another genius idea from my government, probably not the best example, but something like Tax Dollar, which it changes direction about four times throughout the whole song, but still feels cohesive, and which is a hell of a job.
I think it's worth saying that with any band, whatever their debut recording is, you don't necessarily want it to be a honed, polished,
God, no,
crisply recorded piece. I think there's something very charming about seeing a band in its sort of infant stages when they're just trying to get the music out there any which way they possibly can.
You want more passion than professionalism from a debut release.
Yeah.
You want that joy and the grit and the passion and just the sheer chutzpah of it. That's how it's pronounced, John. Chutzpah.
Oh, thank you very much.
Of just like a bunch of chancers getting into a studio or just miking up a room at home and just laying down some sound.
Yes.
And just seeing what comes of it. It's a wonderful experience to hear that happen.
Yes.
And you can really get a feel of that on Eraser Artist's early recordings.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great piece of work in terms of the way the sound develops from the start all the way through to the end.
Mm.
One thing I did think was interesting, I don't know if you ever picked up on this in any time you listened to it, but the first two tracks, I just kind of settled into the rhythm of it and then it ended.
Yes.
Which is a consistent theme.
Yes.
Just as you're settling into the groove of it, it's a very sudden...
Yeah. There's not a single track that lasts longer than 3 minutes. They're all sub 3 minutes.
Yeah.
None of them really fade out to any degree.
One thing I did think, though, interestingly, was that the second track, there seemed to be a ghost of the previous riff hanging on throughout that song. It felt like it. I'm not sure if I imagined it, but...
It's possible. I mean, I've listened to it countless times, and I never really felt that. I mean, I felt a certain consistency of sound, which maybe is that. I mean, you actually make music. I just listen to it.
Yeah.
So you might be more aware of it kind of structurally.
It was just interesting from my point of view, because I was in the middle of commenting to you that I was just settling into that first song and it stopped, and then it almost felt as if there was a very similar riff playing out on the second track, and it was almost as if it was done to sort of carry anyone over. Like, okay, yeah, you might not have been,
No Child Left Behind.
You might not have been expecting that to do that. So here's a little bit of it, just so you. Here's a bit more of it, just to keep you going. But we're not going to be as gentle with you from here on out.
Yeah, with baby steps right now. This is the you know, the tutorial at the start of the game. You know, this is what you press to hit. This is what you press to jump. You know, and now it's now you're on your own.
And now there's a razor blade!
Oh, porcupine! Coming in knives! Oh, dear me.
Yeah, brilliant. But yeah, a really, really good record.
Mm. I'm glad you concur.
Yeah, I concur.
You can indeed. Huzzah. Huzzah for caring. Well, I don't know if you've got anything more to say on the topic, but I feel like... I've covered everything I wanted to cover.
Yes, well, except that thigh.
Yes, well, you know, you've got to show a little bit.
Well, yeah, I mean, but ideally, next time we record one of these, if you could wear trousers.
You see, that
it'd just make me feel more comfortable.
Yeah, well, it's not all about you, is it? You know.
He's got a point, listeners.
Yeah.
I can see
it. You can see it. I'll tuck it into me song.
And on that bombshell, ladies and gentlemen,
oh.
I believe we've reached the end of this week's episode.
Hup, hup, huzzah.
So if you, the listening notes for this, written by Mike,
will
be on aypodcast.tumblr.com.
Yes, and you can also contact us on the Twitters with AYP Podcast.
Indeed.
And also Facebook, All Yesterday's... Parties. I'm yesterday's podcast then.
All yesterday's
I
podcast.
I don't know anymore. It's all just words, isn't it?
It's all right. On a previous iteration of the credits, some of you keen listeners might have noticed that on two consecutive episodes that went out, the same end credit sequence was used.
I noticed that, John.
Did you notice
yes,
that? Yeah,
I did notice that.
Yes, that was because I said all
tomorrow's.
All I said all tomorrow's parties whilst doing the credits for one of them. So yeah. I'm clever. I don't know why I'm telling you this.
Clever and pretty.
Aww. He's a charmer. You can stay.
Hey.
So, in that case, we will see you next week for another podcast.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, if you want us to listen to an album on your behalf,
or if you want to guest on one of our podcasts,
tweet us, Facebook us,
and send a raven.
Yeah. We always love a good raven because then you get a message and a meal.
Yeah.
And on
delicious the... raven. Yeah. I don't know, John. What are you on about?
I don't know. Let's...
I feel like I'm just enabling you at this point.
Well, yeah, this is it. Oh, you started enabling me when we recorded these.
That's true. Christ.
A lot to thank me for. Right. Cheerio, everybody.
Tatty bye.
You have been listening to All Yesterday's Parties with John and Mike.
Yes!
The music is by Attack of the Vapors, and the podcast... The podcast is hosted by Audioboom. I can't edit it out. It's music.
Oh.